Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. Menachos Chav Zayin. We begin at the Mishnah, which is five lines from the top of the Amud. So you have the Kaimitz, and part of it goes missing. Is that critical? Yes. HaKaimitz. Mi'utoi, even a small portion of that Kaimitz is mi'akev. Es Ruba is critical to the entire Akmitza. So even a little of the Kaimitz is missing, the whole Kaimitz is not possible. Likewise, Isorei. Mi'utoi ma'akev es Ruba. If something is missing from the amount, the Isorei amount of flour, which is meant to be in the Mincha, mi'utoi, a small portion of it is mi'akev es Ruba. It holds back the rest of it. So the term miutoi mi'akev es ruboi or ma'akev en zezeh all means the same thing. You need the entire amount, the entire quantity, all the various elements as we're going to see, whether it's in the mincha, etc. So each one is critical, each one is vital to the entire package. Okay, so the kaimetz in its entirety, the Yisarayin in its entirety, Miyutei Me'akavis Rubai, Hayayin, wine, which comes along with a carbon. Again, the amount is absolute, Miyutei Me'akavis Rubai, you need the entire amount. Likewise, HaShemen Miyutei Me'akavis Rubai, the oil, Rashi says, this can be either the oil that comes along with a carbon, or the lug of oil, Ave Mincha. Once again, you need it in its entirety, mi'utai. Even a small portion of it, which is missing, is mi'akev es ruboi, interferes with the rest of it. So it's either all or nothing. The two components in a mincha, which are the flour and the oil, both are needed. Hasoilas v'ashemen mi'akev zeh. Hakaymetz v'alavoyna. Likewise, the kaymetz and alavoyna that come along with a mincha, ma'akev zeh. Are both absolutely essential. You can't do with one without the other. My time, why do we say that the entire kaimetz is critical? Amakrom, loy kumtze, trei zimni. The pasuk repeats it once and again to tell you. Rashi says one is in a donated mincha, one is in a mincha schoite. Loy kumtze, you need the full amount with nothing missing. Because when the Torah repeats something, it's for emphasis, to tell you that it's critical. What about the flour? If some of that is missing, who says it's ma'akev amakro? Misol ta, from its flour, to tell you, nothing is missing. Shemachasra kol shupsul, if something is missing of that flour, it's possible. What about the entire amount of wine, hayayin, mutu makivis rubai? Because it says kacha, as is, with nothing missing. Hashem and mutu makivis rubai, the oil as well. Anything missing, it's puzzle. So it depends. The michas nesachim, the oil that comes along with a carbon, because it says kacha, absoluteness. The michas nedava, the oil that comes along with a mincha, we have the other pasuk, makor umishamna, from its oil. The way it's meant to be, with nothing missing. Shemichis or koshu. If there's something missing of that oil, it's psula. Hashem and Vasilis Ma'akim says that you can't have one without the other. Oil and flour are both critical. Why? Misalto mishamno. Migirso mishamno. Again, the Torah repeats it. Soilis and Shemen. Girso is another form of flour, and it's oil. Apparently, both are absolutely essential. What about the Kaimitz and the Levaina? You can't do one without the other. Kaimitz and Levaina Ma'akim says that. Because it repeats, I'll call Levainasa, and then again, it's called Halavaina, Shalamincha, to tell you that the Kaimetz and the Levaina are both critical, says the Mishnah. Shnei Sirim Kibur Makam Zezeh. So we have the pair of goats, one is as a Karban Chatas, one is thrown down the mountain. They are both critical, they're a pair. You can't do one without the other. Likewise, Shnei Kibsei Atzeres. The two sheep that come on Shavuos, Ma'akven, Zezeh, they're both critical. Beis Chalais, the two breads that come along with those two sheep, ma'akwes, zuazu, shnei sdarim, the two piles of rows of lechem upon them, are both critical, ma'akim zeze. They're needed for each other, they're one package. Shnei bazichim, the two spoons of levaina that comes along with lechem upon them, are ma'akim zeze, they're both critical. Hasdarim vabazichim ma'akim zeze, the breads and the spoons of levaina are one inseparable package. Beis minim shebenazr, the two types of bread that come along with a Nazir's carbon. Gimel Shabbat Parah, three items that come along with a Parah Duma. That's the block of wood, the grass, and the red thread. V'dal Shabbat Toida, the four types of bread that come along with the carbon Toida. V'dal Shabbat Lulav, the four aspects of Mitzvah's Lulav, right? The four items, the Lulav, the Esrog, the Adasim, and the Aravitz. V'arba Shabbat Mitzvah, the four items that come along with the carbon Mitzvah. The block of wood, the grass, the thread, and the birds. These are considered one inseparable package. Ma'akim zeze, you can't have one element without the other. Sheva zo yishev para, ma'akim zo zu. The seven springs of the blood of the paraduma towards the heichal, from the next mountain over towards the Beis HaMikdash. All seven are critical. Ma'akim zo zu. Zayin hazo yishal bein abadim. The various blood applications, the seven that go on the Aroin and the Kadesh HaKadoshim, on Yom Kippur, those that go on the Paroiches, those that go on the Mizbeach HaZov, regarding various karbanis. So those are critical if you have one missing. Ma'ak ve'zuz. Says the Gemara, Shneis Iro Yom Kippur, Ma'ak ve'zuz. The two goats are ma'ak of each other. Why? Because it says the Lashon Chukah Zois by the by the Avodah of Yom Kippur, it says, L'chukah asoylam, chukah, absoluteness, no leeway. Likewise, Shnei Kivsei Atzeret, the two sheep on Shvois, Ma'akvin, Zeze, they're inseparable, because it says, Havaya. It says, Yihu Yul Hashem, Yihu means absoluteness. Shtei Chalais, two breads as well, Havaya, because of Havaya. Shnei Storin, of the Lechem Aparim, chukah. Because of the Lechem Aparim, it says, L'chukahs. Chak Olam tells you it's absolute. No wiggle space. Shnei Bazichan, two spoons as well, because of Chukah. Hashdan Rabazichan, the two aspects of Lechem Aparim, the breads and the Levoina, are critical to each other because of Chukah. Shnei Minim Shebenazar, Tchsiv, Kein Yasa. But Nazar says Kein Yasa. You meant to do it absolutely the way it said, without missing anything. Gimel Shabbat Parah, at a Paraduma as well, it says Chukah. Right, zois chukas atoyr. Right, arba shabbat toida. The four types of bread by the toida are absolutely necessary to discuss another, because the toida is connected in the pasuk to a nazir, which has already been established as being absolute. Tchsiv al zevach toida shlamav. So the toira mentions toida together with shlamav, which is the shalmi nazir. So toida and shlam and nazir are on the same track. What we learned, the word shlamav is larabi shalmi nazir. It addresses the carbon of a Nazir. So Toida and Nazir go hand in hand, just like by the Nazir, it's absolute. Same with the Toida. The four items of the Mitzvah are absolute. Tchsiv Zois Tiyah. Toida's Mitzvah Tiyah means absoluteness. V'dal Shabbat Lulav, the four items of the Lulav, because it says L'kachtem. And we learn L'kachtem is like L'kicha Tama, a full, complete taking. All four items, with nothing missing. Amar Rav Chana bar Rava, but you meant to know leshanu. It's only a problem l'she'en lo if he's missing one of the items, missing the esrog, missing aval yesh lo. But perhaps if he has all four here, even though they're not tied to each other like we tie the lulav with the other, ein ma'akvin, that's okay. So you meant to tie them together, as we're going to see soon. But if it's being taken separately, one at a time, it's okay. Maisvi, here comes a question from a brisa, which clearly requires us to tie the items together. Dalad minish b'lulav, the four types of items by the lulav, are split into two general categories. Two of them bear fruit, the lulav and the esrog, and two don't, the adasim and the avravis. Beis mehen oisin peres, two of them produce fruit. Ubeis mehen, the other two, ein oisin peres, do not produce any fruit. And there's a purpose in binding them together. They represent different classes amongst Klal Yisrael, those that are fruitful, productive, those that aren't, and they both feed off each other and gain from each other. They teach them, they receive from them. Hoisin pears, those that bear fruit, use the kukin. They're bound, l'shein hoisin pears, to the one that don't bear fruit. And in the reverse as well. L'shein hoisin pears, the one that don't bear fruit, use the kukin, l'shein pears, that they're bound to the ones that do bear fruit. It's one team. It's one package. Ve'ein adam yoytzei dechavasa behen. And in fact, one has not fulfilled his obligation. Until they're all tied together. The same thing we find when it comes to Klal Yisrael davening at a time of a fast, a time of distress. You need to have all components, all elements of Klal Yisrael, even the ones that aren't on the highest level, bound together and davening together. When is it firm? When is it established properly? When it's agudasai, when it's one team working together. So clearly, the lulav has to be tied together with the other ones. And here we say you can take them separately. Tanoi, it's a machlekes tanoi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it is critical to have them tied together. According to Rabban, it's preferred, but not critical. The sanya. Tanoi, the sanya lulav bein ogud mishein ogud kosher. Whether the lulav is tied together with the other ones or not, it's okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no ogud. If it's tied with the hadasim thereof, it's kosher. But otherwise, shein ogud is possible. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say tying is critical? Gamar kicha kicha. He has a gedera shava. Using the words kicha. It says, take the lulav lekachtem, and it says, take the bundle of grass. Way back in Mitzrayim, when they sprayed the smear the blood on the doorpost, kicha kicha magudas ezev. Malal, just like over there, baguda, it says agudas ezev. It's tied together. It's one bundle. Afkan baguda. Likewise, the lulav has to be tied together with the other ones. For rabbanon like gamri kicha kicha. The rabbanon don't have this zera sheva there file. Come on, also, so then, how does the next brisa work where it says hadasani lulav mitzvah loydoy? You meant to tie the lulav with the hadas and the rovas, but otherwise, if you fail to do so, it still works. From lav is ogdei kosher. Who's speaking in this brisa? Is it needed or not? Come on, ikur Rabbi Yehuda. Is it like Rabbi Yehuda? Loy ogdei my kosher. If you fail to tie them, why is it kosher? It's critical. Ir rabbanon, according to rabbanon, why is it even required by mitzvah? Loy rabbanon, it's going like the rabbanon. My mitzvah mishum zekel vanbei. Even though they don't require it, but it makes it nicer, it's more organized. It's nicer. It's connected to the other types. So Zekil, this is my Hashem, and I will beautify my performance of mitzvahs before him. So it's not critical, but it's recommended. Sheva zo sheva paro, says the Gemara. Mak v'zuzu, the seven sprayings of blood of the paraduma towards the hechel is mi'akev. You need all seven, because it says chuka. Sheva zo sheva ben abadim, shamez be'achazo, shal poroiches, various karbonis chatas, which are process either in the Kesha Kedoshim and the Hechel, Ma'ak v'zu'azu, all blood applications are absolutely critical and needed. You can't deduct any. Why? Yom Kippurim, the ones on Yom Kippur, well, Ksiv Chukah says Chukah, like we said before. No allowances. What about the Parkoy Mashiach, the Paral Novashal Tzibur, the Tzibur of Yitzchichom, various Karbonas Chattas that the Kohen Gadol would bring, the Tzibur would bring, on account of serious transgressions or doing Avodah Zarah? How do we know that those applications are absolutely critical? Because the sign is we have a brisa. V'osalapar. Kasher osalapar. So this is the pasuk by the par helam davashal tzibur, where the public had sinned, they have to bring a par. Due to this one, like you did to the other one mentioned before, which is the par that the Kohen Mashiach, that the Kohen Gadol brings. What's the point of making reference? Rashi explains, it already says it all here. You don't need that back reference. Ma'atam lichpol ba'azoyes. To double it up, to re-emphasize that absolutely critical. All them are needed. You can't discount any of them. Shemechis or achas min amatonis. If he's missing any of those blood applications, leos aklum, it's a failed carbon. Tana rabbanon. Here comes the brisa. Sheva hazoyes, sheva para, the seven hazoyes of the paraduma. So after they shech the para, they take the blood on Hara Mishcha, which is Hara Zesim, next to Yerushalayim, they turn. He's standing to the east. He's turning toward the west now, towards the Hechel Kadesh Hakadoshim, and he sprays in that direction seven times. Now, if it was done without the right intention, he thought it's a different carbon. She also mentioned Lishman. Doesn't work, because a chatos needs to be Lishma, the right intention. And even mentioned Chavonis, it wasn't lined up properly, it wasn't in the right direction. In both cases, it's Psuas. What about Vishabifnim? The blood applications of the Karbanos Chatos in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Hechel, the ones that we mentioned before, Shema Metzora, or the the applications of the carbon of the Metzora. Now, Farshan pointed out that by the Metzora was speaking about actually the oil, because by Metzora he had a lug of oil, some of it was sprayed again towards the Heichal. So in both these cases, we say like this, Shaloi Lishman, Psulois. If in these situations he had in mind the wrong carbon, he thought it's something else, then it's possible. Because again, the Shebefnim is talking about a chatas has to be done with the right intention. And by the Metzora, we'll see a bit later, even though it's the oil, it's not really blood of a carbon, there as well, if it's done with the wrong intention, it's not considered properly processed to the extent that the Metzora hasn't really fulfilled his obligation, has to bring another one. Okay, now we're going to focus on the next part, and then come back to the Salach. Shlem Chavonis. Brisa continues. What if he takes these materials that we just discussed and sprays it, you know, not in the right direction? Okay, so the blood is meant to be towards the Arayin, right? It's standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's meant to do it directly over the across the towards the Arayin, or in the case of the oil, he's standing in the Heichal, in the Azara, and he's meant to do it towards the Heichal. He didn't do it in the right direction. Shlomo Chavonis, okay, Ksheiros. But earlier we said, when it comes to the Azorus of the Paraduma, again, which took place outside Yerushalayim, and was meant to be towards Yerushalayim, towards the Kodesh HaKadosh, towards the Heichal, there the Brisa tells us, Shlomo Chavonis is Psulais. Okay, so if he misdirected his sprayings of blood of the Paraduma, it's possible. But now comes a brisa which says that it's okay, Vatani Baba Brisa Gabe Para, regarding the Paraduma. Shaloi Lishman, if he sprayed the blood without the right intention, thinking that it's a different carbon, it's psulois. Okay, like we said before, because the Paraduma has a status of a chatas, which needs proper focus. But Shaloi Bechavonis, if he did it in the wrong direction, instead of doing it towards the Heichal, he did it otherwise, Ksheres, it works. And here we say that the Hazois of the Para, Shalom Chavonis are possible. Amar Rav Chisda Leikash, the answer is like this. Two opinions. Ha Rav Yehuda Ha Rabbanan. Depends who's speaking. The first price is Rav Yehuda speaking. The Hazois of the Paraduma towards the Heichal is absolutely critical. Whereas the second brisa, which says if you do it in the wrong direction, it's okay, it's the Rabbanon speaking. Because although the pasuk does say, v'hiza el neichach towards the Beis HaMikdash, even if he misses that direction, it's okay. Because el is lav davka, meaning even if it's misdirected, it works. He's supposed to do it that way, but Contrabida El is Dafka. It's absolute. That way and nothing else. So this machlekes will surface much later on, all the way on the bottom of the Amud here, whether the term El is Dafka, is absolute, or Lav Dafka. But until we get there, it's going to be a whole sort of journey back and forth. We're going to a little bit digress into a different topic and then come back with the bottom line being, how do you interpret the word El? Is it specific? Is it absolute? That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So v'hiza el neichach. When the Torah instructs the kohen to spray the blood of the paraduma, el neichach, towards the oil mayed, it's absolute. Otherwise, it's possible. Kohen Rabbanan. Even if it's a bit sideways or whatever, it's okay. Amar Rav Chisda Leikash, Shehor Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. Lasanya, listen to this price. A fellow who's Tamei has no business in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Mechusri Kapara, Shenichnasu La'azora. A fellow who had been Tamei and purified himself for the most part, but has yet to bring his karbonis to complete that process. He's Mechusri Kapara. He still somewhat retains his Tumah, therefore if he enters the Azora, He's in bad shape. Shnichus la'azorav. If one entered Azorav b'shoygei by mistake, chayev chatas. He has to bring a chatas. But meizah onus kares. If he did it willingly, he gets kares. Meizah olchem etfulyayim. Of course, if he's even more tummy than just missing karbanis, he's still in the day of tumah. He immersed in a mikvah, but he hadn't yet experienced sunset. He's even more a higher degree of tumah, and certainly shor kal tmeim, those that are really tumah. The same status applies to them. Now, what about a person who's tahar? What tahar? But he went in too far. He doesn't belong in the Eichel. He doesn't belong in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's a Yisrael, just the mole of the week, right? A person who's Tahir. Even a Kohen, he doesn't belong there. But he's not supposed to be there. Went beyond their allowable, you know, territory. And they went all the way into the Eichel, the Eichel. Chitzasim, Rashi says, is the 11 Amis, the first 11 Amis of the Azorah. Where the Israel were meant to be. So he went past that point and went into the Hechel Hechel. Kuloi, right? The entire Hechel. Ba'arbaim. He gets Malkus. He doesn't get Misa, he gets Malkus. But if he went beyond that, he went into the Kodesh HaKadosh and Beis HaPareches. And certainly if he went all the way over to the Arayin El Pnei HaKapores, in this case, B'Misa, there is Misa for doing so. Rabbi Doimer, he says, I agree that the Hechel is Malkus. I agree that standing before the Aron is Misa, but simply walking into the Kodesh HaKadoshim generates Malkus and not Misa. That's the sticking point here. Rabbanim say, Heichel is Malkus, Aron is Misa, but even Kodesh HaKadoshim is Misa. Rabbi says, no, Heichel is Malkus. In front of the Aron is Misa, but just in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, away from the Aron, there's only Malkus. Rabbi Daimah, Kol Heichel, Kulu, Umibes HaPareches Barboim, and the Heichel or the Kodesh HaKadoshim is 40 Malkus. And only Val Pnei HaKapur is a Misa. If you stand directly by the urn, then there's Misa. Michael Mitzvah, what's the Machalikas about? Whether or not Kodesh HaKadoshim per se is Malkus, like the like Rabbi Yehuda, or is it Misa like the Rabbanan? Vayikra. Machalikas revolves around how to learn the following pasuk, which warns against entering in an unauthorized, uncalled for fashion into these areas. Vayim Hashem al Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Daber al Aron Achicha, pass it on to Aaron. As follows, Val Yovei B'chalei Yisrael HaKodesh. Kodesh here means the Heichal. Don't enter randomly, you know, into the Heichal. There's a Malkus, there's a Lav. So that's a given. Heichal is Malkus. Then it says in Beis HaParechas, which means the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then it concludes with Misa for one who enters to the point of standing by the Aron. Or Pnei HaKapores, that's in front of the Kapores, the Aron, Asher al-Aron. V'lo Yomos. Be careful, don't go in there is Misa. So the Pasuk refers to three territories. It starts with Malkus, and a reference to the Heichal. It ends with Misa, a much higher, more severe violation and repercussion regarding standing before the Aron. In the middle, we have something sandwiched in between. It references to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, per se, without the Aron. The question is, does it relate back to the beginning of the Pasuk and there's only Malkus, or does it relate to the end of the Pasuk and there's Misa? That's the Machlokes. Rabbanan say, it relates to the end, there's Misa. Rabbi says, it relates to the beginning, there's Malkus. Rabbanan Sabri, Rabbanan hold, El HaKodesh, which is the Heichal, B'lo Yavoy, don't go in there, there's a lot, there's Malkus. But the next two territories relate to Misa, Mibes LaParechas, which is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and certainly Val Pnei HaKapores, which is before the Aron itself, Velo Yamos, there's Misa. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, he learns differently. El HaKodesh, that's the Eichel, and also the second territory, Mibes LaParechas, that relates to just Malkus, Velo Yavoy. And only Val Pnei HaKapores, which is the Aron, that is Velo Yamos. My comment to Rabbanon. What is the Rabbanon? What is their reason? Why did they learn the pasuk this way? Because if in fact Rabbi Yehuda is correct in his interpretation, why did the pasuk word it this way? Look at the pasuk can simply say, Heichel is Lav and Arayin is Misa. Skip the middle. Look at the Al Hakodesh. The Heichel is Lav. Philip Nakaparis, which is the Arayin, that's Misa. You don't need the middle section. Because It's anyways only a lav. And a lav he already has for entering the Heichal. In order to get to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you have to walk through the Heichal. And there's already a lav for that. I'll figure out on my own. Heichal Mechayev. If he's Chayev Malkus for walking simply into the Heichal, certainly, of course, it goes without saying if there's Malkus for going to the Beis HaBarichas. You have to walk through the Heichal to get there, right? So why did the Pasuk even bother mentioning Kodesh HaKadoshim? In Beis HaPorechus, that the Pasuk talks about the Chassid Rachman Alamali, what's the point of mentioning? Shema Minah to tell you that gets an upgrade. It's more severe than merely the Eichel. The Misa, there's Misa. Rabbi Yehuda responds. No, because Rachman Alam Kodesh. The Torah only says Kodesh. I wouldn't know what Kodesh means. I would say maybe Kodesh means the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But now the Torah says Kodesh and says Beis HaPorechus, which means Kodesh HaKadoshim. So now I know that inevitably Kodesh means Heichal, and there's love for Heichal. Because Rachman al Kodesh, without saying Beis HaPorechus, I mean, I would mistakenly think my Kodesh, you know what Kodesh means? Not the Heichal, there's no love for the Heichal. Beis HaPorechus, it means Kodesh HaKadoshim. Aval Heichal lav nami loy, but walking into the Heichal doesn't even generate a love. That's what the Pasuk has to stress. Kodesh. And al pnei haparecha. So now we know Kodesh means the Heichal, and there's a law for that. But of course, Heichal or even Kodesh HaKadoshim is merely a law. As long as it doesn't end up before the Arayin, then it's mis. But Rabban say, no, there's no room for mistake. Of course, Kodesh means the Heichal. We all know that. Holy Lama says, Amrit, you can't suggest that Kodesh doesn't means anything other than the Heichal. The Heichal kulo yikri Kodesh. You know, the Heichal is called Kodesh. Shnama, the pasuk says, Vedila parech lachem. There's a curtain between two areas, two territories, Bein HaKodesh, which is the Heichal, or Bein Kodesh HaKadosh. So we know Kodesh means Heichal. Okay. Continues the word. Rabbi Yehuda, my time. What's Rabbi Yehuda's basis for his opinion? Meaning, how does he respond, right, to this? Why does he say that in Beis HaPorechus? Relates to the end of the pasuk, and there is misa for that. Rabbi Yehuda, my time. Ik sagadaitach kadukami rabbanos. Now he responds to Rabban. If the Rabban are correct in their understanding of the pasuk would word itself differently. Look for Rachman. The pasuk would say simply like this: don't go in El HaKodesh. And then it would say umbeis laparoiches by entering the Kodesh HaKadosh, there is misa. If in fact that's true, and you don't have to go to the third point of referencing the Aron itself, that there's Misa. There's already Misa for entering the Kodesh HaKadosh. It's unnecessary to speak about Al Pnei HaKapoiros. There's Misa upon entering the area of the Aron itself, because I'll figure it out on my own. It's self-evident. Of course, I'll say Beis HaPorechus with Misa. If simply entering the Kodesh HaKadosh generates Misa, of course, when you walk to the Aron itself, El Pnei HaKapoiros, by even standing in front of the Kapoiros, of course. So why did the Torah spell it out? El Pnei HaKapoiros, the Chassid Rachman, the Torah says, the Kapoiros, the Aron, Lamali, what's the point? Shema Minah to tell you that Misa is specific to there and nothing else. El Pnei HaKapoiros, only there it's for Misa, but simply, Beis HaPorechus, simply the Kodesh HaKadoshim is only about Sora. He's warned against doing so, there's a lot of these Malkus. For Rabbanon, Chanam Leit Sorach, Rabbanon say you're right. Once there's Misa for simply entering, of course, for standing before the Aron. So why did the Torah spell both out? Why did the Torah say the words El Pnei HaKapoiros to tell you something else? Lemuti Derech Meshubash, to rule out a fellow who walked inside, who went through a side wall or something. Instead of going in through the front way from east to west, he broke, you know, a door through the south or north, came in through the other way. There's no Misa for that. Ketanot, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, as we learned, Al Pnei HaKapoiros Kedma. Possibly they were speaking about the blood applications on Yom Kippur. Al Pnei HaKapoiros Kedma, do it, you know, towards the Kapoiros, the cover of the Aron. Kedma, Kedma means the east. So, Pnei, the face, is synonymous with east. That's what we learn from this pasuk. Zebonav, this teaches us, it's like a precedent to teach you, kol makav shenamar pnei, whatever we have the term pnei in the psukim, it means the east. Eino elo pnei kodem. Okay, so this confirms what we said before. This is the Rabbanan's opinion that the term opnei kaparis regarding, you know, not entering the is specific to entering the proper way from east to west, the way you meant to enter, then he's in full violation. But otherwise not. Rabbi Yehuda already learned the pasuk opnei kaparis to tell you that there's misa only for going to for the kapiris. It wasn't an extra pasuk anymore. So how does he know this halacha? It's unavailable. This is just halacha that the iser is only upon entering properly. He says, look, there's still an extra word to address this point. Rabbi Yehuda le makra pnei. If the point is only to tell you direction, as opposed to coming in the, you know, the wrong way, it would simply say pnei, pnei akapiris, which means from east to west. Let me call it pnei. My L, why the extra word L? It's an extra word, so I'm going to tell you. El dafka. That the chi of misa is specific to one who approaches the aron itself. So according to Rabbi, the L is dafka. The term L means absolute. Absolutely this way. For Rabban El ad dafka. The Rabban who say that even if he hadn't approached the Aron, if he simply entered the Kodesh HaKadosh, there is Misa, despite the term El, because El is Lav Dafka. Even though it says he approached the, means either he did or even if he didn't. He's in that area, he's in that direction. It also qualifies and is considered a severe violation. Okay, now back to our story. The Azois of the Paraduma, which were meant to be directed towards the Heichel, right over from the next mountain towards the Heichel. V'hiza El Noichach Pnei Oyel Moed. What does El mean? So it depends on this machlekes. Rabbi Yehuda Domer El Pnei Kabaras Dafka V'hiza El Noichach Nami Dafka. Just as Rabbi Yehuda considers El Pnei HaKaparis as absolute, Misa is only specifically when he approaches the Kaparis. Likewise, Misa El Noichach is Davka. Needs to be in that direction only, otherwise it's possible. Whereas the Rabbana disagree, Rabbana, Medahasim Lav Davka, just like the term El Pnei HaKaparis is not necessarily Davka, even if he's in the general vicinity of the Kaparis, he's also Chai Misach and Nami Lav Davka. Likewise, by the sprayings of the dam of the par, which is meant to be Noichach Pnei Lomoid, even if it was done the other direction, it's okay. Preferably it's that way, but it works even otherwise. Okay, so that answers our question. We had a stira between two brises, and one brise says, the Sheva Avazois of the par, Shalom Chavonais, if they're misdirected, it's possible. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Other brayta which says kasha, that's the Rabbanan. Ask the Gemara Maskev lo Rabbi Yosef. I have a question, Rabbi Yehuda. Kunt Rabbi Yehuda says that the term El means specifically, absolutely, no negotiations. But the El Dafka. So just as the word El is absolute, and also El Neichach Nami Dafka, right? El Demigda Sheni, the Loyavu, or in the Kapoire, so Chanami Lo Avidazois. So on Yom Kippur, you meant to do El Pnei HaKaparis, stand before the Aron and spray towards the Kaparis. During Midas Sheni, the Aron and Kaparis were hidden, were put away by Yeshua HaMelech, who hid them in the chambers beneath the Beis HaMikdash, so that it's not taken into exile. So we didn't have an Aron and Kaparis. How could he do the Hazois of the Chatas and Yom Kippur? Hachanami, the Loyavid Hazois, you mean to say he skipped the Hazois? Because if you can't do it right, You can't do it as prescribed. You can't do it at all, contrary to Rabbi Ulam. I'm a crow. We have another pasuk to address this. That even this is okay. V'chiper es migdash ha-kodesh. So this is again on Yom Kippur. He'll be machaper es migdash ha-kodesh, which covers a situation where they were missing the actual arim. Makam ha-makodesh le-kodesh. Even if he did it on the makam, on the place where there used to be arim, which is sanctified for the sake of the arim, even without the urn itself, it works. So there's a special pasuk for that. Okay, Rava Omar, back to that initial contradiction. One brisa says that the azois of the paraduma have to be done directly towards. The other one says even if it's not, it's okay. Rava Omar, hava rabbonon. Both brisas are following the rabbonon, who say that direction isn't absolute, but it depends how much misdirected he was. You have to be in the general direction for it to work. The Raisa says it works, even if it's not exactly up. That's when at least he's standing in the right direction. He's standing in the east and he's spraying towards the west. So even if he didn't do it directly, it works. Because he's in the general, you know. The Raisa which says it's possible, so he's doing it in totally the wrong direction. He's standing tzafan and he's doing tadarim or the other way. Totally way off. In this case, it's possible. Amarma. So let's go back to the Braisa and address one more point. Vishabifnim, Vishabimitsura, Shaloy Lishman Psulais, Shaloy Muchavonais Ksheris. So Shabifnim is a chatos, which is internal chatos, whose blood is meant to be applied towards the, I know, to the Arayin, etc. So if it was done Shloi Lishma at the right intention, thinking that it's different carbon, it's possible. Chata Shloi Lishma is possible. Likewise, Shloi Mechav, if it was the Mitzora's springs, here we're talking about the oil that the Mitzora brings along with his carbon, and it's meant to be, again, sprayed seven times towards the Heichel. Shloi Lishma, it's possible. Okay, Shabbifnim, Shabbatzer, Shabbishman, Shlev Chavanis Ksheris. But if they were done, you know, not directly lined up in the right direction, it's okay. But Tanya, we have a Raisa which says, even Shlev Lishma is Kasha. Ben Shlev Lishman, Ben Shlev Chavanis Ksheris. This Raisa speaks about the springs of the oil of the Mitzorah. Shlev Lishman, okay. Shlev Chavanis, okay. And there we say Shloi Lishman by the oil is possible. Amar Rav Yisrael Kasha, here's the answer. A difference of opinion. So again, the question is the springs of the Mitzvah's oil, Shloi Lishman, is that critical or not? Amar Rav Yisrael Kasha, ha, Rabbi Lezer, ha, Rabbanon. That's what's speaking. According to Rabbanon, it's okay. Because they hold that the only time Lishma is critical, the only time you have to have the right, that's by Achatas. An Asham, Shloi Lishma is okay, and certainly the oil of the Asham, of the Mitzvah that comes along with the Asham, certainly it's okay, Shloi Lishma. Whereas Reb Lezer says, an Asham and a Chatas are on the same track. Just like by the Chatas. Lishma, having the right intention, is critical, same with the Asham, same with the oil of the Asham. The oil of the Mitzvah. Ha, Reb Lezer v'Rabban. Reb Lezer the Makash Asham and Chatas. Reb Lezer connects and compares the Asham to the Chatas. And just like a Chatas, Shloi Lishma is possible, same with the Asham. Makash Nami, Lugli Asham. Just as the Asham has that status, the log that comes with the Asham, which is connected to the Asham, also has that status. Shloi Lishma is possible, whereas the Rabbanon, like Makshi, they don't connect Asham to Chatas, and certainly not the oil. Ask the Gemara one more question, Rab Lezer. But according to Rab Lezer, you're making a double connection. You're connecting the oil to the Asham to the Chatas. How could you do that? Could you make a chain derivation? Since when can something which derived its own law from a hekesh, the asham from the chatas, pass that further and export it to the lug through another hekesh? You can't do that by karbanis. Elam Rava, Hava Rabbanon says, Rava, you're right. Both brises, the one that says lishma is possible, the one that says kasher, both the Rabbanon. And of course, the actual lug is kasher, it's successful, but not with respect to counting for its owner. Because we know this from way back, that even when the carbon would be kosher, you have to redo it. It's not credited to its owner. It has to redo it. The Brisa says is okay. That's regarding the success of the actual, you know, carbon itself. The oil was successfully processed, and you can eat the leftovers. But with respect to counting for its owner, for the owner getting credited for that, that doesn't work unless it's done with the proper intention. And that's what the Brisa meant to say, that it doesn't work. It means to say that it has to be redone properly for it to count. Okay, let's recap today's daf. We discussed the all the packages that are critical, the kaimets, the yayin, the shem, and the seilos and shem, and the kaimets and levoina, the shnei sirim and kippurim, all the aspects of lechem apanim, of the breads of the toida, etc., etc. We have the psukim to source all these halachis. The lulav, according to Rabban, has to be tied together, but that's only as beautification. But of course, it's not mi'akev. We spoke about the azoyus of the paraduma, whether it has to be mechuvanos. We had a machlekes on that. We discussed an interesting shaila regarding the status of a person who walks into the wrong area to the heichal kodesh hakadoshim. At what point is there only a lav? At what point does it become more serious? And we had another interesting machlekes regarding the lukshem and shalmetzera, whether or not the shema is ma'akev in that regard. All the best to you and atzlacha.